I just want to preface this by saying this is not an AI conversation.
Correct.
This is not my voice talking in AI. This is a real conversation, right?
Yes, we are here real.
Okay, good. Dr. Eller here with the Midweek Unit with the superintendent. We are talking about AI today and what all of this means in the world of technology and education. And you have brought with us today Dr. Rivers.
Yes.
And we are going to just have this big conversation about AI. But first and foremost, we've talked about this before, about this being called the Hour of Code. And it's morphed into what it is now. Let's talk about why that is the case.
Yes, the Hour of AI. We know that everything is all about AI literacy. And I'm going to let Dr. Rivers share a little bit about the change between code and AI, and then just talk a little bit about what we're doing in our schools this mm-hmm. week to really incorporate that, to give our students an opportunity to engage with it, to actually create with it, which are kind of the first onset domains of AI literacy.
Yeah.
And so let her share just a little bit. As you know, her background, she was a media specialist, and I brought her in as our technology instructional specialist. And now she is our elementary program specialist, but she still helps me a lot with the technology piece and rolling it out in our schools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Dr. Rivers. Yeah.
Yes. So Hour of Code was created several years ago. Just to incorporate coding and technology in the classrooms. It's an easy platform for teachers to use. Students can get on. It's really kid-friendly, game-oriented for students to learn how to do coding. The whole purpose was it was so that kids can learn how to do coding in 1 hour. And that was the gist of the title for it. Since AI has come into play, they have since changed it and made the games and activities more AI-based. So it's still coding, the computer science part of it, but just integrating AI into the platform as well.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack in the very little bit of what you just said there. First of all, is it possible to learn coding in an hour?
It is very possible to learn coding in an hour.
I mean, you hear the word coding and computers, like your mind just starts going to just these infinite binary numbers and all these things. I don't even know where to begin.
Right. So I mean,
No.
With the coding, they want you to see if I click the number one button, then I can tell it to jump around.
Okay.
Or if I click the up arrow, then I can tell that item to move.
So it's not as hard as I think it is.
No.
It's like saying that AI is just something new. It's really just in the iteration that it has been in recently. But AI has been around for a very long time. So, I mean, that is, it is a...
And I don't even think people realize that all the things they already utilize on a daily basis are AI-driven.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about your Google Maps.
Yeah, of course.
If you think about the old Garmin
that
used to exist.
Yeah.
Those are AI.
Yeah, yeah.
If you create things in Canva, you know, we love to use Canva to make invitations and birthday party things and all that stuff, you know, pretty... PowerPoints, it has AI components in it.
You're spot on. And it is more accessible than what it ever has been before. Okay, so now this has taken a new iteration. And how does this apply to the students? What do they do? What's their experience level with this? How is it applied in the schools? Who's participating?
Sure. So the elementary schools are more introductory lessons with it. The media specialists are spearheading those activities in the library. They're teaching them just the basics of how to do coding and how to do the AI component with it as well. They're also encouraging the teachers to explore with it and to let them do it in the classrooms outside of the library. When they reach the secondary, the computer science classes that they offer at the middle school and the high school, they take it to a step further to learn the more in-depth coding, the ones that you were referring to that are a little bit more strategic and complex. Right. We have robotics teams at all the schools, so they have the opportunity to learn how to code and use the AI to make robots do different tasks. The middle school and the high school compete in competitions around the state at times to showcase what they've learned and how they are able to do it.
Why is this so important?
So we know that we've got to create a future generation that can do computational thinking, self and social awareness, collaboration, communication, critical thinking skills, creativity, and problem solving. By utilizing these resources, we're able to hit all of those so that our students are ready for that next step after graduation.
We've had this discussion internally before about AI and it taking someone's job. Whereas some of that could be true in certain scenarios,
right.
I understand that different industries and different businesses have different needs and capacities, but it's always going to take a human to be able to program
right.
what needs to be done.
Well, you have to prompt it.
Yes.
And so you still have to have that human input
yes.
to prompt it and to give it parameters and to give it the data that's needed. What I see is the time saving. Mm-hmm. So I've utilized it to analyze data
yeah.
quickly that would take me hours, sometimes days to do. Of course, I still have to prompt it on what I want it to look for and how I want it to analyze it. And then I also have to insert the data for it to do that computational thinking for me. That's been great. I mean, I can see in the classroom as a classroom teacher, I would have loved to have had that as a resource to help to assist me with lesson planning that used to take me hours to create worksheets and quizzes. And, you know, now I could take something, put it in there and say, please put this in an ACT-like format. Mm-hmm. And boom, it's there. Now you still have to check it and ensure that it actually did what you asked it to do and it's formatted correctly and the material's accurate. But, you know, just the time saving. And so I think that's where, you know, we've formed this AI integration team that actually is going to meet this afternoon for the first time. And it's made up of administrators and teachers across our district. And our goal for this team is to really help us integrate it responsibly. Mm-hmm. First with our educators, but then second with our students. Because our students need to know when it would be irresponsible to hand off a task to AI and when it would be irresponsible not to. So they need to know how to use it, when to use it, why to use it. And so, but we've got to start with us first. As the educators, we've got to be knowledgeable about it, and we've got to know the parameters of how we can use it and when to use it, and then go from there in teaching our students, because we can't look at it as like, oh, this is AI, we don't need to use this and cut it off. We need to look like this is a resource, yep. and how can we utilize this resource to make our lives better, really? And then how can we teach our students how to responsibly use this resource? Because I could see, as an English teacher, writing a paper, I used to make my students trade and check each other's papers. I could see saying, okay, you're going to write your paper, and then we're going to load it into and let AI do a peer edit and see what those results are
yeah.
from AI and see if you agree or disagree with you know, the grammatical changes they said needed to take place.
What are the parameters around this and the safeguards in place to ensure that kids are not cheating?
I'm going to let Dr. Rivers answer that.
Okay.
That is one of our main focuses for the AI task force,
okay.
our integration team.
That
is going to be something that we're going to talk about and discuss, and we want teacher buy-in.
Okay.
We're going to probably let students have feedback on it as well, just to get their perspective, because they may see it in a different light than what we as educators would see.
Sure.
We want their buy into it also, because if they don't buy into it, then they're not going to follow it.
Yeah.
But we will definitely have safeguards in place for the students. And, you know, I was explaining this to somebody the other day when we rolled out one-to-one technology computers, we had a lot of pushback from some of our veteran teachers about mm-hmm. integrating computers for every student at the same time. It's here. AI is here. We have to make sure that they know how to use it and know how to use it safely, just like we did with the computers 15 years ago.
So when are the elements of the coding used when it comes to application? In other words, sorry, that I should probably work on my words. I apologize. When it comes to what the students have learned from this hour of coding, this week-long initiative, are there any opportunities for them to apply what they've learned in the school system, you know, whether it's, you know, assignments from the teachers or even projects that you're working on within the school?
We see a lot of these skill sets utilized again in math class mm-hmm. with the computational thinking. We also see those skill sets utilized within our robotics teams, and our hope would be that it might spur them to take advantage of our computer science classes that get a little more in depth with coding and other aspects of computers and networking and digital design and all of those factors. And we've got those classes taking place at the middle school and the high school.
When it comes down to specifically what is going to be done outside of the classroom in terms of preparing your students for the next step after graduation, where do you see some of these elements applied immediately?
Oh, I see these every day. To me, I can see this as our students are taking that next level with higher education. I can see this assisting our students with jobs, with tasks, because employers are going to expect that their employees know when and how to utilize these resources. You know, that's going to be expected. I'm serving on that Generate AI task force with ISTE. And so we heard from some business industry leaders there that they're going to expect, you know, their employees to come in already knowing how to responsibly utilize these resources in making tasks more efficient, in their day-to-day work. You know, if you think about, you know, you are in the communications business. So if you think about a news article that needs to go out, and prompting all that information into AI and then letting it produce, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's an article, whether it's a press release, you know, how time saving that is, where before it would take you hours and then it would take you peer edits. I never wrote a paper that I didn't allow other people to check for me. And I was an English teacher.
Sure.
Because there's things that, you know, someone else can catch that maybe you didn't catch, or they'll read it in a way that, you know, maybe you didn't intend for it to be read. And so with AI, you can put it in there and, you know, within minutes, it's read your paper and it's giving you feedback, you then have to decide, is that feedback, if you're going to take that feedback or not, is it accurate or not? And you've got to know how to do that. You know, you can't just put the stuff in there and then copy and paste it and send that out. You've got to make sure the materials in there is accurate.
Where students excel in the classroom is sometimes hard to relate to their parents at home.
Yes.
And make that bridge connect in so many ways. So what opportunities are there for parents to do some of these activities with kids outside of the classroom?
Well, our students have the opportunity to utilize all of those resources on code.org that they're doing this week at home.
Okay.
We have, at Indian Valley, we utilize ClassLink that also has all of the resources. Whatever they use at school, they can access at home. So I know one of my two grand boys that are with us absolutely loves getting on code.org. To be exact, I've had to sign up for something with Minecraft now because of code.org. He played one of those things on there, and now we've got Minecraft going on so that he can build his kingdom and do all kinds of things. And so they're able to utilize all of these resources. And our other schools have the same thing with the ClassLink and the Google Classroom and all those factors. So they can actually sit down and, you know, play it, you know, with their children and actually see what it looks like. And of course, in code.org, it builds with your age. So it builds, so some of the activities that are geared more for ages, you know, 4 through 6, 4 through 7, then build up so that, they're learning those skill sets, and then it keeps building building.
That makes sense.
So the projects get a little more robust.
This is great. Dr. Rivers, you had something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest for parents to ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask your children, can you explain to me what you're doing? And have the child explain it back to them. And that shows that they have an understanding of what they are actually doing in there. And you'll be surprised. You'll hear a lot of teacher voices coming out in your in your child when they start to do that.
That's a great note to take. I mean, it really is. Just to for the parents to have reassurement that they're learning mm-hmm. something in the classroom, but also for that connection to be made at home.
Right. Yes, at Indian Valley, we're fortunate to have what we call our WIN Lab. And so our students are doing computers in there on a regular basis, mm-hmm. learning keyboarding and coding and things of that nature. And so Miss Wright teaches that class at Indian Valley, and my grandsons will say, Miss Wright said, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Miss Wright said.
One thing I wanted to add.
So they're listening.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing I wanted to add is the school, State Board of Education is going to be adopting, hopefully this week, the new computer science standards.
Okay.
And every standard has an AI connection to it.
Okay.
So it's going to be across the board for every content area. So that will be in place for next school year.
We're very fortunate.
And this is for private and public or just public?
Just public. Okay. Dr. Rivers serves on that.
Okay. Wow.
And so we're very fortunate to have her in her capacity and her willingness to serve on that state committee.
That's incredible. How will that be rolled out?
Yeah, so we'll do professional development for the teachers during the summertime. Mm-hmm. We will partner with the technology center in through Mono Valley. Okay. They will offer summer PD for all of our teachers as well, so that we'll have it in place starting next school year.
Amazing, amazing! Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
All this AI content and talk. Super excited to see how it's applied in the classroom, and you can learn more by going to code.org.
Yes.
And there you can see everything that Silicaga City School students are doing.
And anything I would else? Suggest that our parents get on there with their students and definitely do the dance party coding.
Okay.
That's what my grandsons love to
dance
do.
Dance party coding. I'll have to remember that one for sure.
Yes, do the dance party. That's a good start segue.
Absolutely.
To learning how to code.
Anything I'm missing? Anything you want to add?
Not that I can think of. I so appreciate our school district. I appreciate our board members and their foresight. You know, the board members did their annual training on AI.
Okay.
So that they could be on the forefront as board members. And so I just appreciate their support in that and our teachers and administrators that will be gathering together this afternoon so that we can start looking at how we're going to integrate this throughout our system.
Amazing. Dr. Rivers, Dr. Eller, thank you so much for being a part of the Midweek Minute.
Yes, thank you. And don't forget, Stuff the Studio.
Of course. Thank you.
So,
I'm so glad you mentioned
that. We have container bins at each of our schools. So please drop off definitely some non-perishable items. You're welcome to drop off some toys too, but we're really encouraging folks to help with the non-perishable food items to help our families that might be struggling a little bit this time of year.
100% of this stays local. And thank you for mentioning that. That's really a special opportunity that you were partnering with us on this year. And we're just so thankful for that opportunity. Benefiting Alabama Childhood Food Solutions and the Silicaga Alliance for Family Enhancement through next Tuesday. So you have still a little bit of time to donate and send some canned goods or some toys with your kids.
Yes.
And let's stuff the studio full of food and toys for those in need this holiday season.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you so much for both of you. Appreciate
it. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.